Sunday. I want to just make a few thank yous. First of all, just to thank Bronwyn, the sound team, all the musicians, the singers, and to thank all those who helped with the organizing, the ushers. We have security people, we have car people, we have a number of people who have helped organize this morning, and let's give them a big hand of thanks. And then we want to thank all of those who prayed and all of those who gave testimonies and all those who shared what God has been doing in their lives. Let's give them another big hand. There are two other big thanks that I need to make as the rector of this church. I want to thank you as our church family, because our church is made up of believers like you and me. Ordinary believers. And yet God has used us in a wonderful way, not only to become a family, but to become servants and to do mission in all kinds of different ways. And this morning is our opportunity and my opportunity to thank you on behalf of our church council, our staff, for all that you do every week, every day. There are many, many people who give countless hours per week behind the scenes, helping to make this church and this church family what it is. So I really do want to thank you for your time, for your talents, for your giving, for your support, for your prayers, because this church is made up of people, and it's made up of people like you and me. And so I want to thank you so much for all that you have done and all that you have meant to us as a church family this past year. And one of the ways in which we want to thank you this morning is that after the service, there'll be a special lunch, and that'll be in the multipurpose hall, and that lunch is free. We want to thank you for your service and your ministry in this past year. And then we want to thank Almighty God, of course, for his great, great goodness to us. Without him and his Spirit working amongst us, converting people, redeeming people, drawing us into a family, causing us to serve and to go on mission, without God and his Spirit, we are nothing. We're wasting our time. We might as well go home. And so it is a great time for us to thank God, to celebrate what God has done amongst us in this past year. And I'm going to pray in just a moment so that we as God's people can thank him, because he is the head of the church and he is the one who works amongst us. And so this morning we've thanked him in song, in prayer, and we want to extend our heartfelt gratitude, all that we are, to God for his goodness to us. I'm going to pray, and then Royden will be bringing us God's word, so let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we think back over this past year, Lord, we are well aware that we live in a broken world and in many ways a troubled world and a troubled country. And yet, Lord, though things are uncertain around us, we know that you are certain. You are our rock. You are our refuge. We thank you, Lord, that your kingdom will continue and grow, whatever happens around us. And thank you, Lord, for the great privilege we have to be part of your purposes. Thank you for the privilege we have to serve one another and ultimately to serve our Lord, our Savior, and our God. So, Father, thank you for using us and thank you for working through us collectively as a family. And, Lord, we do pray that the seed that has been sown this year in hundreds, perhaps thousands of lives, may bear great fruit and much fruit. And Father, as Royden comes to open God's word to us, we pray that you will cause us to focus on God's word, that we may hear your voice as we read the word of God, that you may challenge us, that you may convict us, and above all, that you may draw us closer to yourself. So meet with us as we hear your voice, and we pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Martin, for those prayers. Morning, everybody. Have you been having a good time? I hope so. I hope so. Since we're a family, I'm going to share. I actually have an extra reason to celebrate today. It is my 12th wedding anniversary. Thank you for that applause. I know it's not for me. I'm not confused about that. I'm celebrating my beautiful wife, and she's celebrating the fact that I remembered. So that's how it is. Let me read to you from Ephesians 1, and hopefully the verse will be, there we go. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just this one verse to anchor everything we've been doing and saying and singing in God's word. And this one verse answers our questions and gives us clarity about what we're actually doing here this morning. What are we here for? To bless. See those first words? Blessed be. And that word blessing, it means to speak highly of, to praise, to worship. We're here to celebrate. Who are we celebrating? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You heard from Martin earlier, we are not primarily here in the first place to celebrate each other. Although you guys are amazing. I don't feel like I say that enough. Not much to look at under these lights, but amazing in a whole range of other ways. We're not here to celebrate each other in the first place. We are here to celebrate God. And not the God of our making or choosing, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the end, He is the only one worthy of our praise. We are here to bless God. Why? Well, because He blessed us first. And I don't mean that God scratched our back and so now we scratch God's back. We bless God because when we understand how it is He has blessed us, there really is no alternative. Let me just explain what I mean. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. What does that mean? Well, firstly, the blessings are spiritual. Spiritual things transcend space and time. Spiritual things are not limited to space and time. That means, well, at least it means that they last. They don't rust. They can't be eaten by fish moths. And if we go to prison, they go with us. Someone cannot come and take them away from us and put them somewhere else. They can't be stolen or confiscated or captured. They are spiritual. See, the problem with prosperity preachers is not actually that they exaggerate how much God wants to bless you. No, they aim too low. They're not ambitious enough. They are offering you cash and health and the car of your dreams, but those things are temporary. And those things are not secure. And those things are never enough. They never satisfy. Tell me something. Those of you with experience in this area, do you go to the prophet once? Is it a once-off consultation? I'm under the impression that it's not. That you have to keep going back because there's always another blessing that you might be missing out on. Not so with the spiritual blessings of Ephesians 1 verse 3. You will always have them. And you have them all. What does it say? You have every spiritual blessing. You lack no blessing. You could not be more blessed than you are. And your blessings are in the heavenly realms where they can't be ruined by a car accident. Or a retrenchment letter. If you are stripped of every material blessing in this life, you will still be more blessed than your wildest imaginings. Do you believe that? That's what it says. And whether you believe it or not, you and I are going to find out that it's true. How do I know? Every single person in this room is going to die. And on that day, the dial that measures your material blessings, it's going to drop to zero. But you will not lack anything. And on that day, you will be praising God because you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. How do these blessings come to us? How do we get our hands on them? Well, if you could just take out your credit cards. Sorry, I couldn't resist. It's kind of a tragic joke, isn't it? Because of course, the truth is that we cannot buy these blessings. We could never possibly begin to afford them. They are paid for in full by someone else. They are yours in Christ and only in Christ. There is no blessing apart from Him. And when you have Him, you've heard this time and time again as people came to share. When you have Him, you have it all. What are these blessings? Well, let's just consider the few that we've been thinking about this morning. First, we are redeemed. That means the blessing of freedom. Now, if your story is anything like Tato's or Baby's, and there are many stories like that here this morning, you will remember a time when you were a slave to yourself. Do you remember that time? But God brought you out of that slavery. It cost Him the precious blood of His one and only Son. That is the price tag He puts on your freedom. That is what He is willing to pay for your freedom. That's His value to you. That's how much He loves you. And now you are free to love Him in return as your Heavenly Father, to love others, and to love a lost world. And you say to me, hang on, I thought we were talking about freedom. That doesn't sound a whole lot like freedom, right? All these other people involved making demands on me. I mean, surely freedom means that I get to choose what I do with my time and my resources and my energy. But that, my friends, is not freedom. That is the essence of slavery to self. See, what the world does is it takes slavery, puts it in a can, slaps a label on the side that says freedom, and says, here, take this, it's good for you. And the flip side of that same false advertising is to say that service is in fact the opposite of freedom. Service is slavery. Service constrains freedom. And that's a bit like saying that fish are constrained by the ocean and that real freedom is in the fishbowl. Do you see that? We know the truth that like a fish in the ocean, when you are living for others, there is actually no end to the opportunity. It is perfect, boundless freedom. Living for yourself, that's life in the fishbowl. Just you. But God, in His mercy, has redeemed us out of all of that slavery. And there's more. As we've been going this morning, He's redeemed us into a family. Because He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He's our Father as well. In Christ, we are His sons and daughters. In Christ, you and I are brothers and sisters. Now, we've come to say those things very easily, but do you see how staggering a truth that is? You were a slave to yourself, many of you. Many, perhaps some of you still are. And I said you were amazing earlier. You are not that amazing. You do not want to spend your life in the fishbowl with yourself, in the company of one, right? Orbiting around your wants, your desires, your ambitions, your grievances, your gripes, your aches, your pains. God, in His mercy, has set you free from that. And He has given you a new identity. He has remade you in Christ. In Christ, you are reborn. You were a slave. That's what you were. That was your identity.
Now you are a son, you are a daughter, you are a brother, you are a sister in Christ.
Now, of course, we can, and we so often do, get our sense of family, our sense of identity, our sense of belonging from other families, right? Other places. Maybe the fan club of your favorite team. Maybe the regulars at the news cafe or MASH down the road. Maybe other Apple users or Merc drivers. But let me ask you this. How committed are those people to you really? What if you change teams or change brands or stop drinking or stop buying? Will they still have any interest in you at all? Any interest whatsoever? I mean, even think about this. Even our natural blood families, those bonds that are supposed to be strongest, they fall apart over who was and wasn't invited to the wedding. Right? Who was at table 3 and at table 5? My friends, what we have here with each other is a precious gift from God. And we only have it in Christ. His cross deals with the sin that would otherwise tear us apart. His forgiveness empowers us to forgive. The love of the Father in Christ gives us the resources we need to love one another and keep on loving one another, even when it's hard, especially when it gets hard. Because the wellspring of His love never runs dry. It is an inexhaustible resource. Do you see that? We can keep on loving because He will never stop loving us. Praise be to our God and Father who made us a family in Christ. The blessing doesn't end there. We are also servants. And again, this one doesn't sound too much like a blessing, does it? I mean, because the whole premise of our social model is that it is better to be Madam than to be Eve. It is better to be sitting in the congregation than serving on the media team or at C-Zone. That's the whole premise. But that is not true in Christ. Service is a privilege and a blessing because it gets you out of yourself. Remember the freedom we spoke about earlier? If you want to exercise that freedom, it's not enough to stop focusing on yourself in a vacuum. You need a new focus. You need a new purpose. And in Christ, you have that. He was a servant, and so are you, and so am I. And if you're a servant, if that's what you are, before it's something you do, if that's who you are at your core, in your DNA, the moment you bump into another person, another individual, you have meaning, you have purpose. Your purpose is standing right in front of you. How can I love you? How can I serve you? And now God heaps blessing upon blessing upon blessing. He doesn't limit service to the family. The range of our service is the entire world, the range of our service opportunities. You can serve the world by inviting them into the family. You can serve the world by giving them your most treasured possession without ever losing it. You can give them Christ. You can share the blessing without ever being any poorer for it. In fact, you can give the blessing away and be richer still. Wasn't that the testimony of Dave and others? God, in His kindness, has made us servants on a mission. Are you starting to see why praise is the only option there is? What is this bottomless hole in our lives that cars and sex and drink and relationships just won't fill? What is it? Identity. Security. Belonging, meaning, purpose. Those are the things we really crave. We want to know who we are. We want to be someone. We want to belong somewhere. And in Christ, we have all that. We have Him. We have identity. We know who we are. We are deeply beloved children of God.
Do you know that about yourself? At the core of your identity, that's who you are? A deeply beloved child of God? That's what it's saying. We are brothers and sisters in this redeemed family. It's who we are. And this is where we belong. Right here, together, in the presence of our Father, in the power of His Spirit. In Christ, we have identity, we have belonging. We also have, as we've been saying, meaning and purpose. Our meaning and purpose, as we've been saying, is in others. We love each other, we serve each other. The relentless testimony of the Scriptures is that there is nothing that will give your life greater meaning than living for God by living for others. Nothing. And here's the irony. Again, it doesn't sound like much of a blessing, but others are always around, aren't they? You can't get away from others. They're in this room. They're cramping your elbow space as we speak, right? When you were trying to do My Lighthouse, they were really cramping your style. They're always around. They're out there in the world. You're going to queue behind them for your lunch. You're going to sit behind them in the traffic tomorrow. Each one of them is an opportunity to fulfill your God-given purpose to love. Every human encounter is an opportunity to do something meaningful. I mean, what a gift. Do you see how the upside-down kingdom of God is the most precious gift there is? What a God. Do you see why Paul praises him? Do you see that Paul didn't have any other choice? As he meditated on who Christ is, on who God is, on who He's made us in Christ, he couldn't contain himself. The praise just welled up and exploded out of him like a dam wall bursting open. I hope you feel the same way. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Shall we praise Him one more time? Shall we stand and make a joyous noise to the Lord? Let's do that.